that middle interview.
The word is vampiro. Texas' very own Dracula, if you will. Vampiro James Rivera is here with us on this episode of That Metal Interview, and we truly appreciate your time, James. A lot of requests, people have been sending me to have you on the show, so we finally come to the day of James Rivera on the show. You might know him from Hellstar from the 80s. World-renowned Hellstar. They did countless world tours, opened up from anybody to anybody, like Iron Maiden and so on, Anthrax and so on and so forth. He'll talk about all the different tours that he did. And he's also going to talk about his belief in Draculas. And we ask him the question if he thinks Draculas are real. And anyway, so he's going to talk about that. Right now, let's check out his newest project and newest song and video. For the song Love My Way, here's James Rivera's Metal Wave Massacre Records. Enjoy. Heavy metal meets new wave, and new wave meets heavy metal, and you mix it up and you get Metal Wave, which is James' new project right there. You just heard Love My Way official video right there. You guys can catch that on YouTube. stream it and this and that. So anyways, he's going to talk about the mix of new wave and heavy metal as he has invented this new eerie metal, as he refers to it, or even he refers to it as vampire metal. So check it out. This is very interesting. And here is our conversation with Mr. James Rivera of Hellstar and Metal Wave. Check it out. So first of all, congrats on your long career so far. How do you feel over, what is it, 40 years? About 40 years now?
Give or take, yeah. I mean, you know, if you technically, yeah, I would say 40 for sure.
How does that feel? Did you ever think back when you started?
No, 40 years ago, I would have never thought I'd be here doing what the hell I'm doing. I mean, I thought 40 years from now, 40 years ago, I thought I'd be dead by now. I mean, yeah, I just didn't. I never could picture myself
wow,
going and still doing what I'm doing. And I never, well, let's just put it this way. When it all started, I never thought it would go where it went anyway. So, I mean, it all started out as like, hey, you know, I want to do that for fun too, you know, and but yeah. I think that's how it started out for a lot of the bands that rose in the 80s, that we all just kind of got together in a garage. You know, you picked five friends that were all in the same music. Hey, I know how to play a little bit of this. And, oh, I know how to play little drums. And, hey, I can do a little bass. And, you know,
yeah,
hey, I'm always singing in the car. You know, it always starts off that way. And then the next thing you know, you fine-tuned everything, and then you have a demo, and the pages start just flipping really fast. And then you wake up 40 years later and go,
damn,
fuck, what happened?
Where'd time go? Yeah.
Yeah, so, where did time go?
So was Hellstar your first band, or was there something else before that?
I mean, like, you know, like, as far as, like, you know, something to acclaim, or as far as
local
recording, or, yeah, no. They were all just little garage bands, backyard party bands. But Hellstar was the first, yes, to ever, you know, get a record deal and put me on the face of the earth.
Wow, so cool. So we all know
that happened in 1984. So
84, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I was 5 at the time.
So we all know you have a passion for vampires and Dracula stuff, and you actually have a song called Dracula's Castle on your first album, right?
Right.
Yeah. So was that the main idea to start Hellstar, to write about this stuff, or?
No, I mean, I had nothing to do with anything, because none of the records were ever really about vampires until Nosferatu.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was just happened to be a song.
Yeah.
That the
Dracula's Castle.
Out of the first lineup of Hellstar that got signed, that one guitar player wrote, and it's very Iron Maidenish if you listen to it. You know, it's not. And it was, you know, great idea and a great song, and you know, he didn't write it for a fascination of vampires either. He just thought it was cool, and I think he wrote it more because of the fact that his biggest band, you know, and if you hear it, it's totally Iron Maiden. You know, and so, and of course, a lot of the stuff we did on the first album is very Iron Maiden.
Yeah.
And I think he wrote it because he was such an Iron Maiden fan. He thought, well, they wrote one called Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah.
You know, and why shouldn't I write one called Dracula's Castle? But instead of his being an instrumental, you know, he made it with words and everything. But he wrote that whole song, you know. And so we never even batted an eye at, like, wow, would this lead to some kind of vampire image for the rest of our lives? It just happened to be titled Dracula's Castle. So now when we do the whole vampire saga on stage live, you know, it's included in there because of the title of the song. And yet it has nothing to do with Nosferatu or Vampiro or anything that we're doing now.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that. People are digging the image, you know, the fangs and all that. That's pretty cool. So, do you see a growth in the name of the band as far as that, because of that image?
Oh, I, you know what? As much as, now I think now the guys get it, you know, I mean, of course, they're totally behind it. Right? I mean, none of them will ever see me as anything else but a vampire.
Yeah.
You know, so they're totally like, well, you know, it boosted us up.
Big time. Oh, yeah.
And I knew it would. I just, you know, it's one of those things you have to be careful with, because, you know, are people going to take you serious?
Yeah.
But if you look at me in an everyday life, the clothes I wear, my hair, my everything, except I don't wear the fangs every day. I mean, I would. I'd love to. But you know what? I can't go get groceries like that because, you know, I'd fucking scare the shit out of a bunch of old people. Of course, I could care less. But, you know, sorry. I'm just here to buy groceries like you do. You know, yeah. You know, so.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, it's one of those things where we should have did it on Nosferatu. We would probably be in another plateau by now but I think it was too way ahead of time when we wrote that record. But yeah, back then I wanted to do the fangs and the red eyes and the be brought out in a coffin and the whole big stage, because I thought we wrote this beautiful opera called Nosferatu.
Yeah.
And here we are coming out on stage with skinny jeans, high top white tennis shoes, and a cut off Anthrax shirt or whatever your favorite band was at the time. And I thought, wow, how fucking impressive is that?
Yeah.
You know? And so the band fought it and the label fought it and the label fought it because they're cheap bastards. You know, well, I don't know how much money that would cost.
Right.
And the band members fought it because, like, oh man, that's kind of stupid and people will laugh at us. And, you know, and you know, and at that time everybody had different mentalities and different attitudes. I said, all right, so I'll just walk out there in black jeans and a fucking Fate's Warning shirt and sing about fucking vampires, and let's see how exciting that goes over with real vampire people, you know. But anyways,
you're ahead of your time.
What woke me up was, you know, almost 10 years later, there's a band called Cradle of Filth comes out, does the whole theatrics of vampires and the whole thing. Danny Filth is my hero now.
That was your idea.
And so I'm like, dude. And now he's a millionaire and he's bought all the Hammer film movies. And I'm just going, you know what? This is fucked. And so here we are decades later. And when we decided to do the album Vampiro, that's when I put my foot down.
Yeah.
And I said, no longer am I going to be denied of what I should have been on stage, who I am, what I am. And besides really sucking blood from people in the – which now I start thinking about it, like with the crime rate right now, it's kind of like being sort of a real Batman, but a vampire Batman. I'm starting to write a comic book now about myself.
Okay.
It's called Vampiro.
Yeah.
And it's about a guy that – he's in a metal band,
okay,
of course.
Cool.
And in every city he goes in, after all his performances, he climbs the highest building of that town and he lurks and he watches.
Wow.
And anybody that's getting criminally violated, raped, robbed, whatever, he swoops down and just bites the shit out of them. But he doesn't give them eternal life. He gives them the bite of death.
Okay.
Because the vampire can bite you two ways. They can give you the bite slowly to turn you into the undead, or they can bite you instantly that just kills you, and it's a horrifying death.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what he does in the comic book that I'm starting to write now. So, I mean, at the end of the day, when we did Vampiro, I said, it's do or die.
Yeah. Wow.
So I'll never forget the first show. I ordered the fangs. I ordered the red contacts. I got the cape. I did all that.
Awesome.
And then so we hadn't even gone on yet. And we, you know, we have the two younger guys, Andrew and Garrick, and Larry and Mikey were, you know, they were sort of in between. I guess they were sort of in between that, you know, oh, this is cool, or man, I don't know. This is kind of silly. It's kind of clownish. You know, you don't know what people are going to think, right?
Yeah.
So, and then, you know, and the kids were laughing, and then, you know, I was sitting backstage, and now I'm completely fangs, everything. And then
awesome.
Larry goes, you know what, man? These kids are never going to let you down on this. They're always going to make fun of you for this. I go, well, they might, but then a year from now, when they're making more money, they might go, dude. So,
wow, that's
it
so
was
cool.
Like the intro started, and I walked out, and it was like, people are either going to be like, what the fuck, you know, and you could tell. So in my mind, I'm going like, oh my God, I could walk out there and you could see people going, pointing and talking to each other like, what the fuck is this stupid shit? You know what I'm saying? Or they're even going to be like, oh,
badass.
Oh my God, you know, well, I played my cards right.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened the instant I walked out. Holy shit.
A vampire. Yeah.
The show went into a frenzy.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You know, and so that was test number one. Then
Damn.
Test number two came when we went to San Antonio. The same, well, see, word starts to travel.
Yeah.
And then pictures are posted. Then, by the time we got to San Antonio, the minute the intro started, there was people wearing the fake, old-fashioned glow-in-the-dark things.
Really?
they were ready.
Oh, like, wow.
So it was an acceptance that, This is him from now on.
Damn.
And then the rest is history.
You could have done that back then. Wow, imagine that.
Yeah,
it's badass. It fits the image. It fits your the whole, you know, the singing deal.
And it
fits
musically. That's the thing. It musically, it goes together. Because we're considered, what they don't use that term anymore, is a neoclassical heavy metal band. Because we are.
Yeah.
We're very intricate. We're basically a symphony with guitars.
Yeah.
And that instead of violins. Yeah. If you listen to Larry's playing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's a badass. Yeah.
Playing, or any of the guitar players we've ever had. There ain't nothing easy about any of that shit. It's Beethoven.
Yeah.
But with, it's an electrified Beethoven and Mozart. That's all it is.
Some tough stuff. Yeah. Yeah. I play guitar too, so I understand. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and if you think about that kind of music, what else could suit a vampire more than anything?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
If you love good music and good podcasts, you'll love Roots Music Rambler. I'm Jason Falls. My co-host Francesca Folinazzo and I talk to the singers, songwriters, musicians, and more in Americana, alt-country, bluegrass, folk, blues, and beyond. We share our own takes on the latest news in the space and recommend new music for you to explore every episode. Come get to the roots of the music you love. Find us at RootsMusicRambler.com or go wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to Roots Music Rambler.
Right. Speaking of vampires, of course, this is all sci-fi and badass to me and to all fans. Awesome. Do you think there's actual vampires out there somewhere in Transylvania or something? Do you think that exists?
No, you got to get a book called The Vampire Chronicles. There was such thing as, well, there are some weird stories that you can sit there and go, did that really happen? Or you can say, why would people from that time age lie about something stupid?
Right.
So the first story goes back to 1600s. There was a guy that passed away. But before he passed away, there was people in the village, and it was in Eastern Europe. But it wasn't in Transylvania. It was in Estonia.
Okay.
And then I forget what happened, but for some reason they all linked it to him, and the villagers, they killed him.
Oh, wow.
But then more villagers were dying of this weird disease, so they didn't know what to call it. Like today we have diabetes, we have cancer, we have whatever. Yeah. These people were dying from lack of blood cells,
which
means that they were losing blood.
Losing blood, yeah.
And so then they were like, you know, the guy that they killed, that they blamed it on, somehow or another, somebody read about the black magic arts and that there is such thing of a person coming back from the dead to become a creature of the night that can feed on people.
Yeah.
And so they finally got a court order back then from the village judge or whoever he was, and they dug him up. And when they dug him up, he wasn't a corpse. He was still in the same form that he died in.
Really? Wow.
And then that's when they drove a stake through his heart and cut off his head.
Oh, wow.
And then there was no more of those kind of deaths in that village ever again.
Oh,
now,
wow.
That is supposedly a true story.
Really? Wow.
So it kind of freaks you out.
Yeah. Estonia.
Wow.
Estonia.
Right. Because this guy was buried, what, 20 years or so? And just the curiosity and the whole, you know, back then, you know, you didn't have forensic science, but people still were wondering, you know, how did these deaths, and they're like, you know, so this one guy that was, I guess he was on top of studying the black art, people that studied the black arts and creatures of the night and things that people that would do anything for the, you know, to sell their souls to the devil and all that. And then that person in particular, he ordered, you know, that we should exhume him because I want to see something.
If he was
when
going,
they exhumed him,
No,
he wasn't bones. He wasn't dead. He looked exactly like what he died in.
Oh, wow. That's weird.
That is freaky, you know?
Wow.
Yeah.
So it does exist. It has existed before. Probably.
You know what? When I get home, I have it all down in because I'm writing a song about him anyways, and I can't pronounce his name right anyways, but I'll send you the story of lying of him.
Please do.
And
yeah.
He's the first vampire ever chronicled in history that they say really existed.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. So
very cool.
That's pretty. It's not freaky. It's pretty spooky. If that story is really true, I kind of believe it.
I believe it too. There's things out there, you know, the paranormal.
There's things from another dimension that we don't know about.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if people can believe in aliens, why can't you believe in vampires?
Yeah, it's out there. It's out there for sure.
I mean, I just don't think that they're. And then another thing you got to think of, if there really is such thing as a real vampire today, do you think that he would go around doing stupid shit so that the news would be on top of him?
Yeah, no.
Another victim found with their blood drawn and drained blood, and they have two holes on their neck.
Yeah.
you know, they probably do things in a more clever way.
Yeah.
They probably, and you know what? And here's another thing you got to think about. Think about all these ladies or children or anything that has gone missing that they never found again.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So
yeah.
This person that maybe is a real vampire has captured these people and has made meals out of them, but he's found a way to dispose of them so that forensic science will never catch up to it.
He's a smart
guy. He's immortal anyways.
Wow.
So you know what I'm saying? So there'd be no way to really catch a real vampire today, even with all the technology we have. And that's the part of a vampire that I love the most, is that you could never really catch a real one. Not like the movies. Oh, well, throw him in the sunlight, we know where his grave, you know. No, it wouldn't work that way. They're too clever.
Yeah,
they're too clever, and they've lived for centuries, and as our centuries go, they adapt more knowledge. They're already smart as it is, but think about it, by now a vampire that's been around since the 1800s and all the technology that we have, he's fucking absorbed that and multiplied it by 5 million times, and he's the smartest guy in the world.
I believe it,
So, you ain't never going to catch him.
Yeah, I've heard some stories of, my mom's from Mexico, and she was raised over there in deep Mexico, and she's told me some stories about witches and all that kind of stuff, like actual people transforming into bats or something, and they appear in different places.
That's right. That's called shift shifting. Well, that's where the werewolf story comes into, where you know the werewolf turns into a wolf. But you know what else is weird is that a lot of that I don't want to call it mythology or
folklore,
but a lot of it is very, very, very popular in Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
So when we went down to Mexico for the first time, the whole vampiro thing was huge.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
And I could see it. You know, I could see that, you know, where people were glorifying me, you know, like, wait a minute, I'm not a real vampire, you know. But, you know, but in their eyes, I was.
They're digging the image, yeah. I saw that.
Oh, they love all that stuff, you know. And you know what's weird? Just like anything else, when you think about the movie The Exorcist, which is about being demon-possessed, you think about vampires, think about werewolves. It's always connected to the Catholic religion. Why is that?
Right.
Because it's probably the most satanic religion that really dwells the earth anyways.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like,
I mean, the Pope or the Cardinals always wearing black and red. He looks like King Diamond on stage. You know?
That's true, yeah.
Without the makeup, you know? So there's some weirdness going on with that whole situation.
Very strange for sure, yeah.
But it is the only religion that believes in demon possession, vampires, and all that stuff. So why is that? You know, so there's just so many things that we don't know about.
Right.
And before I start sounding like Joe Biden here, you know, thinking I know it all, no, I don't. And I wouldn't condemn any religion, or I wouldn't say that this is fact. All it is opinion, and all it is assumptions that I have, you know, from all the books I read.
Oh, yeah. A lot of books out there. And overall, the fans are digging your image, and they're digging it. You know, I see it on videos, I see it on social media, and this and that. You know, so badass. Congrats on that. So keep going. You know, keep going. Don't stop.
Oh no. And you know, and the whole metal wave thing. I am the vampire again, Vampiro.
Yeah,
it fits because it's all dark, very dark, euphoric metal that we just took 80s. New wave bands, but we took the ones that were dark. We can't take all of them, you know. Like some people are going like, hey, are you gonna do big country? And I'm like, no. it has to already had a dark element, like The Cure, you know, Depeche Mode, Psychedelic Furs, even U2, maybe some old stuff, but we all voted against it because they became so it has to be things that fit. You know what Metal Wave will do as far as doing Metal Wave covers. Of course, anything Peter Murphy or Bauhaus did fits like a glove.
Yeah.
You know? So, but you know, I think people are getting the idea of what we just did. And we're very proud to announce that the finally the first single and video, It's Friday.
Love My Way.
Worldwide. Yes, and I think it hits around 9 a.m. our time, 4 p.m. Eastern time.
Awesome. Can't wait for that.
The premiere comes out, and it's the song Love My Way by Psychedelic Furs. And when you hear it, you'll be like, wow, I remember this song.
Yeah.
But fuck, I never heard it like this.
Badass. Yeah. So are you saying the video is dropping also, or just the...
Yeah, the video along also with the single. Yeah, it's all connected.
Oh, wow. So talk to us about this single. We know it's Psychedelic Furs, and how about the riffs and all that? How did you guys transform it? Who's behind that?
Well,
is it Larry?
Actually, all we did was, you know, Larry revised, well, between him and Maurice, my guitar player, they kind of half and half rearranged things. But the tempos are still somewhat the same, for sure.
Yeah.
Because we still kept the dance beat, but we have the double bass in there to make it metal, because we still want the chicks to dance.
Yeah.
The melody is exactly the same, except for it's done with a much higher dynamics in vocals, because I have one.
Yeah.
And that's the key to it, is to make the songs so the minute you hear it, you'll know what it is. But you'll just be like, wow, this is... And if you were a metalhead, if you're a metalhead now, but you were a person that loved that kind of those kind of bands in the day, Metal Wave is like your... the best cocktail in the world, because you get the best of both worlds. Like, man, have you ever heard Depeche Mode like this?
Yeah.
You know, and so I think that, matter of fact, I already wrote the Psychedelic Furs, because I came to see them in Houston, and I don't think it was them, but whoever runs their business and stuff, I sent them the version of the song, and they loved it.
Yeah.
The band loves it.
Oh, wow.
And I think that, shit, some of these guys are going to be like, fuck, why didn't we do it like that? You know?
So, right.
But, you know, but yeah, but it's just that we just basically just, what makes it more metal is it is a lot more guitar work going on. So it's very Hellstar doing Tears for Fears, Psychedelic Furs, Bauhaus, Peter Murphy, Peter Gabriel. I mean, we have a version of Shock the Monkey that is fucking heavy as shit.
Yeah.
What else? Echo and the Bunnymen, you know, Morrissey, you know, the Smiths. Our versions are just, they're the song, you because the melody was the most important thing in my mind to keep the same, so that the 80s fans would remember the song, and we didn't want to ruin that.
Yeah.
And so the crowds have been getting bigger and bigger because we're combining the best of both worlds now.
Yeah.
Wow. Which is really weird, you know. So
whose idea was that, to combine a new wave with a...
It was mine.
Okay.
It was during the pandemic when I was bored. I was getting drunk as a skunk and doing nothing. And you know, this tribute band stuff is just getting out of control here in Houston, where it's like, there now there's 500 TO ones, there's 300 Iron Maiden ones. When I started doing Sabbath a long time ago, there was none, you know, really. And so now I don't even want to do that anymore, because it's like, oh, well, that other Priest tribute is playing next week. Oh, that other DO tribute's playing, you know, the following week. And so I thought, you know what,
too many.
I'm going to do something that nobody can copy and nobody can do, because if they did, then that would be stealing. Because basically all we did is, with these songs, we made them originals.
Yeah.
And now that's why we got signed, where no other tribute band gets signed.
Wow.
So, and we got signed because, maybe because three of us are in Hellstar.
Yeah, but
that's
true.
The guy that owned the label, when he found out about it, it blew his mind. He's like, I want to hear some of this stuff.
Yeah.
So the minute I sent it to him, he goes, you got a record deal. This is going to destroy in Europe. And
wow.
I said, yeah, I kind of thought so, you know, but...
Massacre.
It was my idea.
Massacre then, Records, right, yeah.
I started reaching out to... I always start at home, with my immediate family, which is Hellstar.
Yeah.
Larry and I went to see Depeche Mode together for the first time in 1985 for fun. And you know, he's been a fan of this kind of stuff a long time. And I told him my idea, and he said, dude, say no more. He goes, you got a drink in your hand? I said, yeah. He goes, let's do a shot together. I'm in, bro.
Wow.
This is genius. And he goes, wait till I start fucking dissecting this shit. Man, and then he didn't waste any time. He just started sending me stuff left and right. The next thing you know, he sent me three songs.
Right away.
Black Celebration by Depeche Mode, Psychedelic Furs, Love My Way, and The Cure Love Song, but in his way.
Yeah.
And the minute he sent those songs to me, I was like, oh my God, we're on to something big.
It sounds badass.
Vegas stuff. Dude, if we play our cards right, we get the right a promotion, we get the right manager. This is Vegas kind of stuff, because it'll be unique. It'll be like, who's ever heard of New Wave
Gone Metal?
Yeah. Which is the name of the first album now.
Yeah.
You know, like, man, you know, I think that, I really do think that even, like I told you, I think even the original artists are going to be like, wow, I'd even go see that. You know?
Wow, interesting. So somebody already uploaded snippets of that. Yeah, somebody uploaded some snippets of some of your songs.
Well, I mean, like I said, the single will be out Friday. The full album won't be out till next year.
Yeah.
They haven't given me a date yet, but once it's released, and then, you know, then everything will be on Spotify, it'll be on Apple, iTunes, everything.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so the first album is called James River's Metal Wave.
Yeah.
And the title is New Wave Gone Metal.
New Wave Gone Metal,
the
there you go.
Next record, we changed it just to Metal Wave.
Oh, wow.
And the name came up, everything hit me like a ton of bricks. The idea, everything, and then a title for the band. I said, Metal Wave.
Yeah.
And then Larry goes, I don't know. And then he goes, but you know what? It's simple. It's kind of like Metallica. Like, and I looked it up. There is not one band called Metal Wave.
Metal Wave. Wow. Genius. Awesome.
So it's because, like, the term has been used for, like, in the metal wave of this and the metal wave, but no one has ever named the band Metal Wave.
Nobody, wow.
And so my idea is, okay, heavy metal, cut out heavy, new wave, cut out new, and you got Metal Wave.
Awesome.
And so that's, I think it's a name that's easy, and then the shirts look amazing. It's an emblem that'll always stick.
Yeah.
And that's usually what you need to sell. You know, and so I think it's taken a slow process just because of the pandemic and everything. But I think now that once the single comes out, we start doing these next shows in 2023, I have a feeling that band's just going to blow up like a fucking rocket.
Oh, for sure. You know? Absolutely. It's going to blow up. Yeah. So you guys did the Milwaukee deal, Metal Fest 2, not so long ago. So you guys are playing stuff from your career, right? And are you mixing in these new songs?
Yeah, that's the Metal Asylum, and that band is based out of San Antonio.
Okay, Metal Asylum.
I got more shows planned with them in the new year, and I did one in Europe already with the James River's Metal Asylum. The fans are loving that because it's all the bands that I ever was in before.
Yeah,
that aren't going to be around no more.
Yeah,
you know, so it's kind of a legacy, you know, a tribute to those bands, and people love those bands. So, you know, it's like you're getting the whole enchilada in one day.
Yeah. So when is your first metal wave performance? When is that happening?
Well, I mean, you know, we got this show already planned for October the 30th here in Houston.
Okay.
And that's going to be our first show.
The Halloween Bash.
In a long time. And, of course, we're celebrating the release of the single. It's the day before Halloween. So it's a Halloween show, which is perfect. Yep. We're actually playing with a ghost tribute, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I saw that.
And then we're playing Austin on November the 12th. And that's probably the closest one to you, so you may want to consider coming to that.
Yeah,
you
know? For sure.
And
oh, yeah.
Then we're already scheduled for Mexico City next year. And now an agent, my agent in Europe, is interested in looking to book us. But the thing is that Metal Wave is going to be – it's not going to be difficult. It's just going to be one of those kind of bands that, like, there's a lot of revolving doors where we could, what kind of bands we could play with, because we could play with another metal band, but we could also play with a dark gothic, heavy dark gothic band as well. Like, one of my favorite bands is called Softkill.
Oh yeah.
You know, so yeah, I love that band, dude. That's my favorite band right now. And Unto Others.
Oh yeah.
So we could fit with those guys instantly, but we could also fit with Judas Priest and Iron Maiden. You see, so that's another good thing about what we're doing, is that there's so many streets we can take, and we would fit on every road, no matter what, you know, just because of the way that we wrote the music, rewrote the music, and when I rewrote the music, but how we rearranged the songs into metal.
Yeah.
But they're dark. They're very dark.
Very interesting.
Matter of fact, my friend in El Paso that wanted to bring us, he was thinking about, well, yeah, I could put you with the Aussie tribute and this and that. But then after he came to see us, he flew down to San Antonio to see us. He goes, man, you guys are pretty fucking dark, dude. He goes, I think I need to market this with the gothic people, like it's a whole different crowd of people.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I mean, hey, whatever works. I mean, gothic people love vampires, so I'm sure I'd fucking be,
yeah,
a commodity that night. You know,
it's going to blow up for sure. I'm pretty sure.
Oh yeah, awesome. Totally. So you see, we can go all kinds of ways with it. And people are just loving it. You know, the people that have heard it so far are just blown away. They're just like, man, this is, I can't describe it. They're like, it's
genius.
It's heavy, but it's dark and yet very, they described it as, dude, that you might have started a new new genre called eerie metal.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like,
there you
well,
go.
I wanted it to sound like a vampire's music.
There you go.
You know,
wow.
Like,
eerie metal.
Welcome to my castle. You know, and this is what you would hear when we're eating dinner. You know, so.
Well, you're onto something there.
Yeah.
Before you go, do you want to send a message to your fans listening to this podcast?
Oh, of course. It's all over the place, right?
Yeah.
Of course, you know, I loved Eagle Pass. So, I mean, I have no problem with that. It was the first time I ever been there. I just want to say, hey, man, guys, thank you so much for all the support after all these centuries, as a vampire would say. And, I hope that you all stay safe. And if you're going to want to catch some kind of virus, catch my virus. It makes you live forever. Okay? Fuck Corona. Corona has nothing on me. So I just want to say thank you for all the support. And vampire metal will take over the world soon. And we'll make this a very peaceful place. I promise I'll have plenty, plenty of breweries that serve fresh blood on the tap.
Awesome. Wow, James, appreciate that. Very
okay,
cool.
Buddy. Thank you so much, honey.
Is he a vampire is the question, right? So anyways, big shout out to Vampiro, James Rivera. Thank you for making time. A great, great talent. Great, often compared to Dio, compared to Ozzy, in which, of course, he has a tribute band here in Texas by the name of Sabbath Judas Sabbath. And anyways, he has several projects, and go out there and support his stuff, you know, his socials. You guys can find Hellstar, James Rivera, Metal Wave, and Metal Asylum for sure. So a big shout out to Larry Bergen, guitar player for Hellstar, who was on our show a couple of months back before this interview. So a big shout out to him if he is listening from the great city of Houston, Texas. And all the way from Eagle Pass, Texas is myself, James, and as far as our podcast here, That Metal Interview Podcast, thank you guys for supporting. Thank you for your continued support. Thank you for sharing, downloading, streaming, whichever format you guys prefer, right? So anyways, thank you, James, one more time. And don't forget to keep it metal.
That Metal Interview.